In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. In the year of our Lord 2024, on Trinity Sunday, let it be known and recorded that the rector of Apostles Anglican Church was not on vacation. Not only was he not on vacation, let the record show that he stood in this pulpit and preached. Now, for those of you who may be newer to Anglican faith, you are now included on the inside joke. Across parishes, dioceses, and throughout this good province, that rectors notoriously hit the road when Trinity Sunday arrives. I actually am going to be hitting the road on vacation next Saturday, but mark me present in preaching for Trinity 2024. Now, keeping with Anglican humor, let's hear one of our own great writers and theologians, Dorothy Sayers, offer her whimsical catechism-style take on what the Anglicans of her day, the 1930s and 40s, what they actually thought about the Trinity. Question, Sayers asks. What does the church think of God the Holy Spirit? Answer, I don't know exactly. He was never seen or heard of until Pentecost. There is a sin against him that condemns you forever, but nobody knows what it is. Question, what does the church think of the doctrine of the Trinity? Answer, the Father incomprehensible, the Son incomprehensible, and the whole thing incomprehensible. Something put in by theologians to make it more difficult. Nothing to do with daily life or ethics. Now, that playful section from Sayers, it comes from a title, from an essay entitled The Dogma is the Drama. And once Sayers is done having a bit of fun, she expresses her deep conviction that Christians must never take on the likeness of, quote, a crashing and ill-natured boar. Rather, if we actually could find the grandeur of drama in our doctrine, the truths we profess about God would actually make us glad. And that's my aim this Trinity Sunday, to find within God in three persons truths that would make us glad. Let us remember, this is a feast day. A feast day is a day to celebrate. It is a day to take heart, to sing, and even to smile. Now, in my younger years, I subconsciously thought that I must get all these concepts into my brain before I could really experience the Trinity. Now, we are good Anglicans, so we do not discard our brains. But think of it this way. Does a toddler need to understand the science of calories and vitamins and proteins to eat? No. Parents feed their children good food and they are nourished. As a child matures, they'll learn about ingredients and diet and all sorts. But the most important thing, eat every day good things. Our mother, the church, nourishes us with the truths of the Trinity. And our comprehension, or lack thereof, of God in three persons, that's much less important than that we eat regular meals that she offers. I often think of Psalm 131 on Trinity Sunday. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up, my eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me, but I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. What I would like to gaze upon today is the name of the Trinity. The name. Often we might consider on Trinity Sunday God's nature within the Father, Son, and Spirit. That can be nourishing, to be sure. But today I want to meditate on his name. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as we meditate on God's name, That will lead us to experience God in three ways. We experience Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, first in belonging, secondly in praying, and thirdly in praising His name. So let's explore the name of God a bit further. When I say God, I mean Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That was the proclamation of St. Gregory Nazianzus, also known as St. Gregory the Theologian, in the 4th century. He's a church father I'll quote further today. The name of God is an apocalypse. You know what apocalypse means? It means a drawing back of a veil. It means a revelation. Such it was for Moses when he turned toward the burning bush on Mount Sinai, when God spoke from the bush saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. On Mount Sinai, Moses learned that God's name is the great I am. God spoke his name, and Moses encountered awesome glory and knowledge, and yet he encountered a mystery that would transcend his knowledge. Now why, one may wonder, why did the Lord not reveal to Moses all the way back then the triune name that we profess in the Nicene Creed as Christians? Let's answer that question with a question. Why must you guard your eyes from looking at a solar eclipse? Because the light is too much for us. It would blind our vision without eye protection. Not only is God's being too great for us, he had to prepare us. And remember, too, that when God does reveal himself through the story of the scriptures, his own people that he reveals himself to reject him. Remember that when God revealed himself to Moses on Mount Sinai, what was Israel doing? Making a golden calf at the foot of the mountain. Remember that when God sent his only son to redeem the world, when his only son spoke of God as his father, the world rejected him and he was crucified. God revealed himself in the fullness of time after our Lord's crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. For us to see the truth about God, his name, we had to receive light and knowledge from the Holy Spirit. This is why we celebrate Trinity Sunday, the Sunday right after Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And just before his ascension and the coming of the Spirit, Jesus commanded his apostles to go and baptize disciples in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus' words are very deliberate. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are a single name, not three names, a single name. Go and baptize disciples in the name. And actually, a more literal translation is, go and baptize disciples into the name. Bring them into my name. Bring them into the inside of God. The inside. Some theologians, they speak of the Holy Spirit as the spirit of inwardness. St. Paul says, the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. The Spirit searches our inner depths, and the Spirit searches the beauty shared in God Himself, searches the depths of love, beauty, glory, goodness shared between Father, Son, and Spirit. And as we heard in Romans moments ago, it is the Holy Spirit given to our hearts in baptism by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. God made us so that we would know him, not just remotely, but know him by name. the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's eternal life. Eternal life is not just the promise that we will not die. Eternal life is knowing the triune God from the inside. That's what Jesus offered to Nicodemus. Not only that Nicodemus would have a promise that he would not perish, as we hear in John 3:16, but that he could know God from the inside, from the heart, just as Jesus spoke of his Father in his incarnation. There are many metaphors about the Trinity. Some are helpful, others are terrible. Others are misleading. All of them, they break down at some point. But I'm most fond, however, of this Trinitarian metaphor given by an anonymous monk of the Eastern Church who said, "Each heartbeat is an impulse by which the Father gives himself. These beats, they send towards us the blood of the Son, given life by the breath of the Spirit." Father gives himself, the beats, the blood of the Son, the breath of the Spirit gives life. The heart. Now let's briefly consider three ways that we experience the triune Lord through his holy name, by belonging, by praying, and praising. One of my favorite Anglicans, the Reverend Austin Farrer, he said, "Belief in the Trinity is not a distant speculation. The Trinity is that blessed family into which we are adopted. God has asked us into his house. He spread his table before us. He has set out bread and wine." We're part of the family. You and I were adopted by one God in three persons. We were baptized. We were baptized into his threefold name. Now let's go old school here. Your first name is your Christian name. In other words, your personal name, the name you were given in baptism, it finds its meaning and fulfillment only by knowing God from the inside, from God dwelling inside you, and from you dwelling in the presence of God. You will never know belonging such as you find when you make your home in the communion of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So take your place at the table of the Trinity. And when you do, you'll find you're not seated alone. You are his guest, his honored guest, beloved guest. And you will find that you are not the only one who confesses his name. Your communion is with God and that marvelous mystery we call the church. It's with also all sons and daughters of the Lord. When you belong to the Trinity, you bear the most precious spirit of inwardness within you, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit dwelling within pours out a multitude of graces so that you feel at home in God, so that you could find a childlike freedom when you're in his presence. Saint Gregory, who I quoted earlier, he was known to speak of the Trinity in his writings. He would speak of the Trinity as my Trinity. My Trinity. Now, he's not speaking like he owned God, not at all. He spoke in this way because he knew he was a son. And he could live freely in his Father's house. My Trinity. Secondly, we experience our triune God by praying his name. The name of the Trinity given to us in baptism is given to us also to pray his name, praying from our depths into God's depths. The beginning of that great prayer, St. Patrick's breastplate, it begins and ends with these words: "I bind unto myself the name, the strong name of the Trinity, by invocation of the same, the three in one and one in three, of whom all nature hath creation, Eternal Father, Spirit, Word, praise to the Lord of my salvation. Salvation is of Christ the Lord. To invoke the name of the Trinity in prayer is to invite His presence. It is to reveal His presence. It is to make His presence real. And I love St. Patrick's confidence in the power of our triune God. I bind unto myself the strong name of the Trinity. I remember a story about a woman who asked the Athenite monk St. Paisios, "How do I pray when the assaults of thoughts will not end? What do I do when the devil will not leave me alone?" St. Paisios said, "When the struggle is greatest, cry out, 'Great is the holy name of the Trinity.'" I've adapted that prayer in my life to say, when I'm assaulted, "Great is the holy name of the Trinity, Lord, save me. I believe, I am confident, His name is strong to deliver." We have many of these liturgical or brief sentence prayers. We have the Jesus prayer. We have St. Patrick's breastplate. We have the sign of the cross. All of these, they invoke the presence of God. The sign of the cross is a silent prayer itself. The hand itself is a confession of faith. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, bring them together, one God. With the fourth and the fifth, the Son of God, fully human, fully divine, make the sign of the cross. Without words, this is the prayer, the confession, my belief that He is present with me. Now, any of these forms of prayers, they're not charms. The Jesus prayer is not some talisman. Sign of the cross is not something we summon for magical power. That's not our belief. No, we use these prayers to invoke, to invite the presence of the triune God. Reveal your presence. Make your presence real. The name of the Trinity is our strong tower. It's our shelter, our keeper, our sure defense. So let's transpose this into the key of St. Gregory. My Trinity is my castle. My Trinity is my peace. My Trinity is my hope. Apart from my Trinity, I am nothing. And with my Trinity, I have all things. And this brings us to the third way we experience the Trinity, by praising the name of our triune God. One theologian said of the doctrine of the Trinity, "The Trinity is not a schoolroom problem, it's the song of the church." If the Trinity only engages your brain, you're going to be like I was on the school merry-go-round of my childhood. You spin round and round, and when it stops, you can't see straight, you can't walk straight, you're just dizzy, right? Thanks be to God that we were created and redeemed by a God who transcends our knowledge. From the first apocalypse of God's name to Moses as I am, to that fuller revelation of God's name as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God is a mystery. But what kind of mystery? Our God is a mystery of unceasing love. Unceasing love within Himself and towards us and all the world. I will worship Him who is beyond my comprehension, because I'm not saved, I'm not healed by comprehension. I'm saved by what, good Christian? By grace. By the love of God. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, who pours out His abundant grace upon us, that we, His sons and daughters, would become by grace what He is by nature, a perfect communion of unceasing love. And so, dear brothers and sisters, the best way to experience the glory of the triune Lord is by singing His glory. Let us sing and smile and be happy. That's right, I said in 2024, be happy. Because God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's a fascinating truth about our church fathers that goes far too unnoticed. Those fathers who compose sermons and writings and the creeds of the Trinity, they compose numerous poems and hymns to praise the Lord. And in fact, their doxologies, they were their theologies. No separation. Some of our best, most exalted words about God in three persons, they come from ancient hymns and poems praising our triune Lord. Make thy dazzling rays shine on me, O my three-personed God, O Creator, and make of me the temple of thy inaccessible glory, a luminous temple blazing and unchanging. There's a doxology and there's theology. There's so many more examples, but I want to close with an ancient doxology that's appointed for Pentecost. Holy God, who created all things through the Son with the cooperation of the Holy Spirit. Holy Mighty, through whom we have known the Father and through whom the Holy Spirit came into this world. Holy Immortal One, the Comforting Spirit, who proceeds from the Father and abides in the Son. O Holy Trinity, glory to you, glory to you, glory to you. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.